is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Twin Peaks on Kirby, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry out, Nick in, as we open up hour number three of the show from 59 in Kirby and the Twin Peaks location. It's Eats, Drinks, Scenic Views, and I'm telling you, from the made-from-scratch appetizers and main courses, as well as the 29-degree beers. Actually, right now, it is 30.1 degrees on the draft beers, and you can always tell that because of the fact that the readout signs are all over the place. And, of course, the beautiful Twin Peaks girls. Everybody here present and accounted for.
Clarence is here. Clarence is in the building.
Yep. And he is going with the chicken tenders, which he swears by.
And he's been in the building 35 seconds, and he's already chit-chatting with you about the Saints.
And drinking a large beer.
Good for him.
If P. Randizzle was here, they'd probably be too deep by now. That's just the way it goes when the suspects go onto a road
trip. P. Randizzle said he couldn't make it, right?
I don't know. He was looking, he was all over Twitter, and he was looking to stay off of social media. I was going to tell him, just come out to Twin Peaks. And, boy, he handles his business when he's here.
Well, he tweeted us. He said he wanted to come, but he couldn't. But we'll catch P. Randizzle on a lot of these events.
Good luck to Maddie tonight. She's got a softball game for Havoc.
The Havoc.
Yeah. She's got to keep that weight balanced, weight back, and explode through the baseball or the softball. She's going to be doing fine.
Maddie is 13% Egyptian.
13% Egyptian?
She's like...
And what is she, like 47% Canadian?
That's what Barry and I were confused about when she mentioned it the first time, remember? It was like 32% Hispanic, like 21% white, 13% Egyptian, 14% Asian. It was like...
It's a non-discriminatory set of numbers.
It was all over the place. But anyway... She just turned 12, and she's got a game tonight, so shout out to Maddie. So.
Absolutely. That's why I said it. So we're pulling for her, and she's a mini suspect. We love her.
I'm so undecided about what to order. I don't even want to look at this damn menu.
By the way, Pink Valkyrie was also asking us about Gold Glove Award finalists. The Astros have four. Remarkably, for all of you people that have had the poo-poo on you attitude for Alex Bregman, he's a finalist for a Gold Glove at third base.
I don't get the hate.
Altuve at second base. Yuli at first base. And, Nick, your favorite player is up for a Gold Glove.
Who?
Josh Reddick.
You're kidding.
He's up for a Gold Glove in right field.
I don't think he's going to win it, though, right? By the way, did you see the picture I tweeted out of the Hank Aaron Award?
Yeah.
What did you think of it?
I mean, I kind of...
I feel like they did him wrong.
I tend to agree with you. I think that that's such a iconic name.
That's what I'm saying.
When you see Hammer and Hank Aaron, if you could do the pose of him watching the home run ball go dropping the bat or something like that, I think players would really put that on their mantle with, you know, like a Heisman.
It's still an amazing award, obviously, and it was cool to see him at Minute Maid Park last night. But it almost looks like an afterthought. It just looks like they got a bunch of metal and stacked it on top of each other. Kind of stuffed this little baseball bat under it, and it's supposed to be a ribbon, but it just looked weird. I felt like they did Hank Aaron wrong. I would have been okay with, like you mentioned, and like I tweeted yesterday, him hitting a home run or hitting a ball, swinging a bat. It would have looked way cooler, in my opinion. Regardless, it's still cool if you get the award.
He was at Minute Maid last night.
He was.
I thought that was awesome, and obviously age is catching up with him. He's had some things going on because he's not quite the same, but that is a legend upon legends. I grew up in Milwaukee. He played for the Milwaukee Braves. He finished his career at the Milwaukee Brewers. That man is just...
He's a god.
He's right up there, right behind Jackie Robinson. But that man is iconic for the sport of baseball. Mike Trout could not be there yesterday to get the Hank Aaron Award for the American League. Christian Yelich received it for the National League. Because I did not know that when I asked you, when you tweeted the picture, and I said, is Bregman getting it? Because I just assumed that...
I thought you were joking because they had announced it 2 hours before, or an hour before you tweeted.
I didn't see the announcement, and I just figured because, again, just like the MVP award, when Trout, you know, missed the last part of the season, that there could be Bregman's award to win, and that's why you're giving it away at Minute Maid. But regardless, great to see Hank Aaron there, and a pretty cool thing with Yelich and Joe Torre represented Mike Trout.
It's still a very cool thing. Obviously, I don't want to like downplay how cool the award is and what an honor it means and what Hank Aaron means to the sport of baseball, but I just felt like they could have done a better job with that award.
That's fair.
It just looked a little off. That's just a random thought.
That's That's absolutely that's fair. So there's a football game tonight. I'm billing it as the AP Cousins Bowl because I don't think anybody cares. But we'll see because no World Series, so there's going to be football.
Are you blocked on NFL? Have they removed NFL?
I have it on satellite.
Okay. So
I can watch it.
Okay.
Yeah. So you got Redskins at Vikings, Kirk Cousins against his old Redskins team, and then Adrian Peterson going back to the city that was home to his greatest seasons as a Viking. As AP goes against his old team and Cousins against his, good storyline there. Bad in the fact that the Redskins just absolutely suck.
They do. I think the one thing that you can say about this game, at least in regards to Kirk Cousins, he didn't have, a terrible game last time, last outing.
No, his last two games have been good. Ever since he had to apologize to his receivers, they were calling him out for being bad.
Right.
His last two games have been good. The Vikings have looked much better, and they've also made sure that Dalvin Cook gets his hands on the football, because let's be honest, no matter what Kirk Cousins is or isn't, that football team should be feeding the ball to Dalvin Cook on a very consistent basis.
Absolutely, and I don't know what the mishap or the miscommunication was early on in the regular season. There's always been, obviously he's been criticized not only by the fan base and by media, but by his own teammates. And I kind of want to see him turn things around. I know he's been able to get paid fantastically during his NFL career,
and a lot of people David Carr look poor with the money he's cashed in,
and a lot of people are bitter about that. But I just would like to see some of these quarterbacks that get absolutely crapped on to somewhat live up to what they expected them to be. Like Brock Osweiler, I've never been a big fan of, but there was times where I was hoping he'd have a decent stretch of 4, 5, 6, 7 games.
Fan, of course,
I mean, and I'm talking before he became a Texan, like.
You talk sample size. He had a sample size that got him that contract from the Texans.
But outside that one sample size with Denver, he really hadn't had anything similar to that. And so you want to see these people that get paid kind of live up to the contract. Hopefully Kirk Cousins can do that. And I'm not even a Kirk Cousins fan. But he's definitely been a guy that's been paid. In terms of the Vikings, though, yeah, absolutely. You give the ball up to Dalvin Cook. I mean, how do you not get him involved all the time?
It's just kind of funny to me that the two teams in the division that were favored to win it in the NFC North both have outstanding defenses, but both have quarterback issues to the level of it's going to be the difference between them being a Super Bowl contender and them fighting to the bitter end to either get a wild card or a division title, because we all know Trubisky's just been absolute garbage for the Bears, and they've got an all-world D. And Minnesota's defense is really, really good too, and Cousins has just been so inconsistent that it's hard to believe that they have enough offensively, consistency wise, to compete with the best in the NFC.
And look, I think you're right. We were talking about Trubisky, and we were kind of talking about how the Bears believed in Trubisky, and it seems like they don't necessarily believe in Trubisky all that much right now. I think Kirk Cousins has been given a big enough leash that you can give him. Like, you've got a sample size on Kirk Cousins. Trubisky, you have it a little bit, but not to the extent of a Kirk Cousins. It's getting to the point, if not already with Kirk Cousins, that you already know what you're going to get. And what you're going to get is not that good. It's not.
You know, unless a lot of people, because they see the money and they see some of the, you know, with the talent that they have, that they all believe, well, he can turn it around. He's going to be, how could you say that? He's going to be all these different things. And I've seen enough to realize I'm never going to bet on Kirk Cousins. I know, and you can't be mad at him for getting his money. But when it comes down to being a money player when you need him, so that you can go as far as you can go, there's a reason why Washington didn't give him that money. And look, if one of the most poorly run franchises in all of sport, not just the NFL, realizes this might not be our guy and he's not worth all that money, then why would anybody else want to throw multiple years? And the Vikings had to, because they were really desperate. Bridgewater had been hurt. They needed a quarterback. But they're finding out pretty quickly that there was a reason why Washington wasn't willing to give him a long-term deal.
Yeah, and look, and I've seen a couple of stories in regards to this game, is that despite Kirk Cousins having the one or two good games that he's had, or the three good games that he's had, this might not be a situation where you have to depend on Kirk Cousins that much. You don't necessarily need to throw the ball. You might be able to just run the ball against the Redskins and be successful. You don't necessarily have to depend on that, which could pay dividends for Kirk Cousins, because that way, if he doesn't pass for a ton of yards, it doesn't necessarily look that bad, because they did an incredible job running the ball against the Redskins, and I think that's what you might see against this Viking against this Redskins team, is that the Vikings can just get away with running the ball, and Kirk Cousins doesn't necessarily have to look as bad. And
but let's be honest, I don't care what the spread is. I don't see there's any the Redskins challenging the Vikings at all tonight, especially at home. What's the spread? Do you see it there?
Minus 16.
Look, the Redskins may cover 16, but it's not going to be a close game.
I don't think so either. I don't think so either. 16 is, yeah, I can see the Redskins covering, but I just don't think it's going to be a close game. I don't think it's going to be competitive at all. At all.
All right, so there's some football for you. Plenty more to get to in the baseball world. Managerial jobs are filling up right now. Joe Girardi has a new home amongst other managers. And also, the Brandon Taubman situation is getting dicier again, as Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball, said that he was concerned last night. Now there's news that we'll get to from Buster Olney that it may come to fruition, some of the things we were talking about earlier this week. We'll get to that and a whole lot more in the final hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Sam Windsor with the Houston Sabercats here. Even when I'm down under, I'm listening to ESPN 97.5 on the app. You can stream the boys from anywhere. Mate.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Twin Peaks on Kirby, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back rolling through the final hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We take you till 4, then the Blitz takes you till 7. Fred and AJ will be here. Nick's going to stick around. You guys should stop on by. If you're getting out of work and looking for a great place for happy hour, a great place with unbelievable food, and of course, like they like to say, eats, drinks, scenic views, come to Twin Peaks, 59 and Kirby. Suspects till 4, Blitz till 7, all broadcasting on ESPN 97.5. Now, we've been talking about this Brandon Taubman, assistant GM of the Astros situation.
Yeah,
all week.
We have a lot.
A lot of details. The commissioner of baseball came in yesterday for game 2, Rob Manfred. Before the game, he said, I think there's going to be a conversation with the Astros at the end of the investigation, as is often the case. He made sure he mentioned he hadn't gotten all the details yet, hadn't talked to the investigators working on it. But he said that baseball's going to make a decision working with the Astros as to who should handle it, as opposed to exactly what the outcome is. It is. And at the end of the day, he said he is an Astros employee, and that's key, because now ESPN is reporting that his job is definitely under scrutiny as assistant general manager of the Astros as the investigation continues.
I'm not surprised at this. I'm not surprised at this, but what we said yesterday, or at least I said, is that it depends on what the MLB investigation reveals. If the MLB investigation reveals details that perhaps we did not know about, or details that I feel are going to be so overwhelming for Brandon Taubman to overcome, I can see him losing his status as the assistant general manager of the Houston Astros. But I will tell you this. When the manager going into that game after the news broke is using words like disappointing, and the commissioner is using words like really concerned about the underlying substance of the situation, I don't think luck is necessarily on his side in terms of his job status.
Yeah,
not at least now.
You bring up a really valid point, because I think that when we were talking about it initially, and I said, look, if Daryl Morey doesn't lose his job with everything that happened there, including his owner coming out from the get-go and going against him on this, and then it became a major, major international issue with everything going on, that I didn't think that Taubman would lose his. However, as you said, when you heard A.J. Hinch come out before Game 1 of the World Series and be that adamant about not in his clubhouse and not in this organization and no, 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 no to everything, while details were still surfacing, you're absolutely right that it sent a pretty clear message that there was a really better than average chance this guy's going to be unemployed.
And not to pile on the Astros and be critical about how they've handled the way their team looks, the way the front office looks and is perceived by the city of Houston. This is a PR team that was coming off some awards when they won the World Series. And now, over the course of what, 6 months, late in the regular season from the Justin Verlander incident, not letting a member of the press from Detroit into the clubhouse after the game because he refused to answer questions, and now going into this situation with the assistant general manager of Brandon Taubman, it's not a good look if you're the Houston Astros. And that's the reason why I could not be an Astros defender just yet. I had to be critical about how they handle that situation. You can't go out and say a story is being fabricated by Sports Illustrated when there's that many people corroborating the story.
That's the bigger thing, too. Don't say anything at all until you know all the details.
They should have just shut up or said something else.
Yes, and it's a horrible look for the franchise when you issue a statement that quickly, that snap judgment quickly, and then within 10 hours, it completely unravels right in front of you that the story is legit. It's corroborated by legitimate journalists and all the different details.
Now, here's one approach. You don't necessarily answer anything and say, we're going to look into it, perhaps investigate. What that does is just postpone the inevitable, right? That just means
it buys you time.
It buys you time, and it just means reporters are going to circle back to you at some point, whether it be a day or two or a week or two, and come back and ask that exact same question. So what did you find out about that assistant general manager, Brandon Taubman, and is there going to be any disciplinary action? They would at least bought a week or two to sit there and get their thoughts together, get with the front office, get with the PR team, and say, this is what we're going to do in terms of an approach, and this is what we're going to do in terms of a statement. Instead, you release a statement fabricating the story, and then you kind of admit following the fact. And now it looks like Brandon Taubman is going to could potentially lose his job.
He'll get another job.
I agree. I don't think it's a situation. Look, he's 27 years old. He's obviously intelligent if he's 27 years old, and he's already the assistant general manager of the World Series
with
Astros.
With one of the best analytical and baseball knowledge for
Luhnow,
front
in my opinion, needs
all
to be. I want to know what Luhnow has to say. I want to know what he has to say because he's the assistant general manager.
Luhnow made a statement yesterday, and he basically was saying we're going to wait for the details to come out, and he kind of steered the Astros more towards the let's see what all the details are,
which is probably what they should have done the first time.
But yeah, it's a bad look for a franchise. A lot of people are trying to make it the reason why the Astros are down 0-2, and let's not get it twisted. That's the furthest thing from the truth. But it's a bad look for the franchise to have to deal with. So
no doubt. I'm shocked that it just seems like this situation is catapulting into something else, into the worse.
Right.
At first, you felt like he might not get fired, and to a certain extent, I kind of agreed with you. Now, when the MLB commissioner is saying he's concerned, I don't know if it's that easy anymore. It's a fire that's gotten bigger, not smaller.
Other news in the world of baseball before we turn the page. The Phillies have hired former Yankees manager Joe Girardi, which I think is an excellent, excellent hire for a team that has a lot of talent but needs to do something with it. They get a very experienced world champion manager in Joe Girardi. Aaron Hicks, the outfielder for the Yankees that we thought was going to avoid Tommy John surgery when he came back to play against the Stros, has the Tommy John surgery, out 8 to 10 months. So that's a little bit of rehab.
Who's out 8 to 10
Aaron
months?
Hicks of the Yankees.
Ooh.
And the San Diego Padres have hired Jace Tingler. No, he's not a porn star. Jace Tingler, who has spent a decade or more with the Texas Rangers in their baseball and major league player development departments.
Have you had Tommy John surgery in your day?
No, sir. I had a lot of scar tissue and injuries in my shoulder and my arm, but avoided the knife. Luckily.
Are you a lefty or a righty?
Lefty.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Does that matter?
No, I was just curious because I've never asked you that question. I forgot that you played ball and Tommy John was obviously a possibility. I'm glad it didn't happen. But
me too. That makes two of us.
Because it's a year. What's the rehab on that?
He's 8 to 10 months.
Is that 8 to 10 months?
Well, look at Lance McCullers. Lance McCullers sat out the whole year.
That's what
they're
saying.
He's going to be ready for next season.
Yeah.
So, all right, we're going to continue to roll on. We've got 30 minutes to go on the show. We take you till 4. Blitz takes you till 7. You do nothing but keep it tuned right here. ESPN 97.5.
I'm Matt, we're the Junior, Jazzy, Baby J. Tell him when I die, put my money in a crack.
Couple figures, kill a skull, and collect. She on to the next.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Twin Peaks on Kirby, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry's out. Nick's in. Final half hour of the show. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We're here till 4. Blitz till 7. Come on by and see us. 59 and Kirby, location of Twin Peaks. It's eats, it's drinks, it's scenic views. And you know what? It lives up to every bit of that and more. It's always a good sign when people that work at other restaurants are stopping by Twin Peaks when they get off of work and having themselves some eats and drinks.
Absolutely.
And enjoying the scenic views.
Why
That's just
you?
All I'm saying.
Perfect time to come right now.
Yeah. So those people just left. That means there's tables opening up. Fred and AJ are going to take you till 7 o'clock. What better way to get ready for the evening of Rockets basketball and Thursday night football than catch the Blitz live here at 59 and Kirby? Get yourself some of those eats, drinks, and scenic views, and then get on home to watch some TV. Or in your case, maybe you go down to the game.
100%. I don't know if I'm going to go to – I thought I was going to go to the Rockets game, but I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that considering that I'm here till 7. I could go in late. But I don't know if I'm going to do that.
Tad Brown may take your pass away if you don't show up. I just want to let you know.
Boy, when's the last time you said hi to Tad Brown?
That'd be never.
I believe that.
Yeah.
I was just curious, to be honest
with
you. And
I'm just being honest.
He has no idea I'm your producer, by the way.
That's good. It's probably better for you that way.
Daryl, too. I think Daryl has no clue
Daryl
who
would
I
be
am.
Fine. Daryl would be fine. But, yeah. You know.
What if so if he knew?
The Taddy Bear?
Oh, actually, yeah, we don't have to bring it up.
Yeah, he's already tried to play Kelly Eco several times, and Kelly was quick to use that as ammunition to leave him alone.
Good for Kelly Ego.
So we've been talking about a lot of things. Also want to let you guys know that world-renowned Beatles expert, yes, the band The Beatles, Howard Goodall, is coming to Houston. Share his insights into the creative genius of the group The Beatles. The one-of-a-kind event is going to take place Monday, December 16th at the beautiful George Theater. Thanks to St. Luke's Music with friends Jaguar Houston Central, Land Rover Houston Central, and Momentum Mini, all places where Nick shops. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. and include light bites before and after the Goodall presentation, plus a question and answer with our very own Ken Hoffman, who perhaps is the biggest Beatles fan in Houston, an exceptional rare opportunity. First time Goodall has given his presentation on the Beatles in the United States, and you could be a part of it. Tickets now available, sportsmap.com. And while you're there, the man, the myth, the legend, the man that makes it all work at SportsMap, Fred Fowler, will tell you that it is the one-stop shop that you should make every day to start your way in sports. You head over to sportsmap.com. You check out all the articles and everything pertinent about what's happened in sports in the last 24 hours and more. And then you can comment on things along the way. And we love the fact that you support SportsMap as well as ESPN 97.5.
Because SportsMap is getting big. All the maps are getting big. We just launched Automotive Map,
which is right down your alley in more ways than one.
So, yep. Yeah, all the map websites are doing well. And Fred Fowler's done a real good job with sportsmap.com. So, do you have any new and compelling content?
I've got some videos up based on some medical circumstances. I haven't been my Hemingway self with an article this week, but I will stay diligent in that.
There's another Saints fan for Clarence to mingle with.
Yeah.
I don't know if Clarence
They'll
is
aware. They'll be best buddies by the end of the day.
I would believe that.
Clarence is going to be like Norm at Cheers, where everybody knows his name. He's at the corner of the bar just looking for Saints fans. So we've talked a lot about the news today. Obviously, a lot of Astros talk. Got in some football talk, including the game tonight, and lots of Major League Baseball talk with news and notes, and some Rockets. So NBA. And by the way, I know that people are not paying a whole lot of attention, but Kyrie Irving's debut last night for the Nets. New Jersey kid, going back to his hometown team.
How did it go, by the way?
50.
Oh yeah, I did see that. I didn't see the game, but
they lost
in
overtime to the Timberwolves. But he put a 50-piece. On the T-Wolves.
Talk about somebody may have something to prove after that last season, maybe? Perhaps, maybe?
It's a good way to start your season, regardless of anything else. So that was
because we've always
impressive.
Talked about how with Kyrie Irving, there's a big possibility, and I don't know if we've confirmed that, or I don't think he's ever said that, but he didn't necessarily like being under the shadow of
LeBron
James.
Right.
And that's something a lot of people have to put up with. I remember LeBron James kind of losing his patience with one of the reporters when he was asked, why do you think Kawhi Leonard chose not to be a Laker? And LeBron was like, I don't know.
He got a little salty about that.
You know why? Because I think the narrative is he kind of knows that maybe Leonard didn't want to play under his shadow too. Right? Is that a possibility?
It's a distinct possibility, absolutely.
We can't prove that. I don't think Leonard has ever said that, but he doesn't say much anyway.
I know LeBron's very sensitive about this whole Kawhi thing and Kawhi taking the crown from him and being the best player in the game. Look, bottom line is you had pretty much a full complement of players against the Clippers. Paul George doesn't play for the Clips, and they beat you by double digits. That's not a good look.
It's not. It's not. Despite the fact that Kuzma is not playing, you still have Anthony Davis on the floor with you. And I know that despite the fact that he's a new teammate and you guys are still trying to get along and learn your tendencies and learn how to work with each other, it's not a good look with Paul George sitting on the bench. But it's a sentiment to the Clippers. I think if you're Los Angeles, you got to be super excited if you're the Clippers. But
no doubt Pat Bev and having all the different – players they have on that roster is going to make a big difference. But it is game one of 82. But let's not get it twisted. Those two teams in most people's eyes are going to be in the Western Conference Finals. So every game matters when they play each other.
You're talking about the Clippers and the Lakers. And yeah. Are you one of those?
I think so. I do. I think that, look, the Clippers kept the majority of their roster together from a team that won without either one of those guys, Leonard or PG-13.
And if you lose
Gallinari and some young pieces and picks, and you add those two guys, you have to be better than 45 wins. That's impressive. And then when you look at it from a Lakers perspective, what I saw in the preseason was a roster that's loaded, and they didn't have Kyle Kuzma. I think they're going to get better. It's just Rondo didn't play the other night. Kuzma didn't play the other night. But I think that I thought the Lakers going into the season were a better team than the Clippers, and I changed my mind on what I saw the other night.
Well, you talked about the Lakers and what they did in the preseason, and I feel like unlike other sports, well, maybe not unlike other sports, but you can take some of the things that you see from the preseason and expect that to go forward in the regular season. It's not necessarily completely uncommon for you to see some of the success in preseason to translate in the regular season. What I didn't see from the Lakers in the preseason in that particular game is the bench. And I think they had like 13 or 12 points.
You've got Danny Green. You've got some Avery Bradley. You've got some pieces that are supposed to make you better than you were when you had all the misfits of Lance Stevenson and all those guys last year. You've got Dwight Howard, who actually was playing fairly decent for them the other night.
I think Danny Green did well. Wasn't he like 7-for-9 from long range?
He had a quarter where he had 15 on 5 threes and just lit it up, which is an outside shot that they didn't have a year ago. So I think that the talent is there. It's just how long is it going to take to get them to gel? And we'll see how long it takes and how they get together. But I think both of those are really good teams.
I guess there's a press conference going on with the Astros. We've got to keep you updated to that. I'll look back on it on Twitter, but I don't know if the Astros are making any comments in regards to Brandon Taubman, the assistant general manager who's on the hot seat, essentially.
If the quote from our friend Jerome Solomon is accurate that he just tweeted, I think the Astros are finally handling it the way they should have. Maybe it's in retrospect, but the fact if they're able to come back after their initial statement and admit they were wrong, that's important.
Well, that's just what it is, and I'll let you say that on the other side. We have got a couple minutes left in this segment.
Yep.
But the Houston Astros have released a following statement following the statement that they've already released. And you want to do it now or you want to do
it?
Go ahead.
Go ahead. We got time.
So during the past 2 days, the Astros proactively assisted Major League Baseball in interviewing Astros employees as part of MLB's investigation of the events published in the recent Sports Illustrated article. Major League Baseball also separately interviewed members of the media over the past 24 hours. Our initial investigation led us to believe that Brandon Taubman's inappropriate comments were not directed toward any reporter. We were wrong. We sincerely apologize to Stephanie Epstein, Sports Illustrated, and to all the individuals who witnessed this incident or were offended by the inappropriate conduct. The Astros in no way intended to minimize the issue related to domestic violence. Our initial belief was based on witness statements about the incident. Subsequent interviews have revealed that Taubman's inappropriate comments were in fact directed toward one or more reporters. Accordingly, we have terminated Brandon Taubman's employment with the Houston Astros. So he did indeed get fired.
I was going to say he gone before you said it because I didn't think they were going to admit it. But the fact that they went that far means that was a pretty big deal.
And as I was reading that statement, and it was kind of a long statement,
yep,
every inch of me was telling me that at some point in this statement, they're going to say, we've terminated Brandon Taubman as the assistant general manager. That's the reason why I didn't think he was off the hot seat. I thought there was a lot of truth in your argument in the fact that Daryl Morey didn't get fired and was able to weather the storm with regards to China and the NBA. I wasn't so sure about Brandon Taubman. It was a completely different dynamic. And again, with this statement, this proves that, in fact, that he brought up he directed those comments at them because of the Osuna situation, knowing that no one asked any question about Osuna to begin with, including the person who's passionate about domestic violence.
But also, the one thing that we said, we alluded to, you and I in particular, early on, that was brought to light by listeners as well as other people, the reason why he targeted certain people were he knew that they had either spoken out against the organization and or in general in public about being against not only the Osuna signing, but what it looks like in terms of domestic violence.
Yeah, it's a bad look. I said it a million times. The Astros acquired Osuna as a calculated risk. They knew there was going to be some sort of backlash when they made that decision. They felt like they could overcome that backlash. And you know what? They did. Brandon Taubman goes out to the clubhouse and thinks it's okay to direct comments like that. In a game, Osuna nearly lost the game for the Houston Astros in.
Yep.
He nearly lost the game for the Astros.
You had
no reason to jump up and down with using profanities directed at reporters who you know have a problem with Osuna being on this team.
No question about it. So there's the final, I would say that's probably the final axe to fall because of the fact that now he is without a job. The Astros want to move on from it. Major League Baseball got involved, and they're hoping to wipe their hands of it now going and go forward and hopefully do positive things regarding domestic violence. But there's the end of the story with the Brandon Taubman situation. And like I told you, right or wrong, I think he'll have another job pretty quickly.
I agree with you. I think he's too intelligent. He's going to need to let this
marinate for a while, but
yeah,
he's got to learn a lesson.
Maybe
too.
Not next season, but maybe the season. Maybe even next season, actually. Yeah. I don't see why not next season is not a possibility.
I tend to agree with you.
Yeah.
All right, we'll see what else is going on. We've got one segment to go. We're going to put a bow on it next. Turn it over to the Blitz. Blitz is going to take you all the way till 7 o'clock. You keep it tuned right here, ESPN 97.5.
The nights when I held you beside me, unbreak my heart, say you love.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Twin Peaks on Kirby, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back.
Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Final segment of the show for us, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. As we take you till 4, then the Blitz takes you till 7, all here on ESPN 97.5. You just keep it tuned here. If you want to come in and see Fred and AJ in person, we'll stop on by to the Twin Peaks location at Kirby and 59. It's more than just the beautiful Twin Peaks girls. It's the macho manliness of Fred and AJ. They, along with Nick, are going to be here all the way till 7 o'clock, so you can see them, take selfies, check in, and then roll on with your day, whether it's going to be go to watch the Cougs taking on SMU tonight.
That's actually the other option for me, because I have the option of checking out that game.
Because our former executive producer forces you to do things.
Actually,
like
I don't
that.
Even know if she's going to be at that game, to be honest with you.
Who are you kidding?
I don't think she's going to be at this game. I think she has to do some travel, honestly.
Okay.
But
if I was betting, I'd say she's going to be at the game.
Normally, I would, too. So I don't know if I'm going to go to the Cougs game or the Rockets, but I am excited for the basketball season. I know you are.
I both are. I know Barry doesn't like to talk basketball till December, but we've had so many people today, including the text line recently, that said, talk Rockets. Did I miss basketball talk yet? So that's great.
I'm just looking forward to something else that we
can talk about.
I think we both have our opinions on how this could potentially work between Russell Westbrook and James Harden. I'm sure we'll have more shows to share those opinions and debate and all that other good stuff, but that's what I want to see. I want to see how these guys get along on and off the court. I want to see how much respect they give each other when the other person has the ball, because we all know.
Or the first time they don't give the other person the ball.
That's another thing. How are they going to react? Preseason doesn't matter. We'll see how they act the first 20 games in the regular season. What does it see? What is it like? How their friendship? I've always told you, your friendship always gets tested when you work with them, because it's completely different.
That's why we hate each other.
It's a completely different dynamic. Your relationship always gets tested when you go from being friends to actually working.
But let's also be realistic in the fact, just like the Clipper-Laker game, what's decided in game one isn't going to be who you are in game 82. But it's a good barometer to see where you are and what you have to do. And we didn't see a lot of those two guys on the floor at the same time all preseason. And D'Antoni has said that his goal is to play one, then the other, and not play them together till the fourth quarter. I don't see that being an easy meshing situation.
Is this a trial and error situation? He might be just trying this out. I don't know. What did he see to make him think that approach would be successful unless he's just trying it out? I mean, there's no precedent that shows that's going to work.
I think the main thing is because he knows in his heart of hearts, just like you said, iso ball's not going to work with two guys wanting the isos. And who gets it when, and who's the point, and who's the shooting guard, and all the other questions that people have been throwing out there. I think that's something that he still hasn't figured out completely yet. So I think that's his way of buying time more than anything else.
That's probably true. That's probably true. And look, maybe it is a serious approach that you take. I don't know. I'm just saying that that's very unprecedented. I don't know if you necessarily take that approach. But in case you missed it, last segment we didn't break the news, but the Astros officially released a statement saying that they fired assistant general manager Brandon Taubman. He is no longer the assistant general manager of the Houston Astros because of behavior in the clubhouse following the Yankees series. And now it looks like he's going to have to be out looking for another job. I mean, it's
like I said, I think he's going to find one, but I think for a lot of reasons.
I agree.
That it had to happen this way. And we'll see how everybody goes forward from this. But, you know, we kept saying from the get-go, look, we don't have all the facts, and we need them before anybody can pass judgment. Thankfully, the Astros, who passed quick judgment and looked really bad, didn't try to candy coat this one and just put it on the table and said we were wrong.
I think finally they actually looked at the situation for all it's worth and said we're not going to make a decision unless we make a really calculated decision. Because let's be honest, it wasn't calculated when they didn't let that media member inside the clubhouse because Justin Verlander didn't want to talk to him. That was a bad look. And then you go out and you kind of prematurely throw out that statement saying that the article was fabricated.
But here's the thing, Nick. And
that's why I think you're right about him getting a job, because the fact that they defended him like that tells me he's probably an asset for that
team.
He's
a smart guy. People are just completely enamored with analytics. The fact that he was Luno's assistant, and Luno's done so many good things, someone's going to give him a look and not going to care about whatever just happened. They're going to, obviously, he went through sensitivity training or whatever, but they want him in their baseball organization. I think without this, he probably would have been considered for general manager jobs. But I think the other thing that I talked about initially and kept bringing up is something that is relevant in this entire situation, including the fact that one of the guys involved in all this from a witness standpoint is a guy that also was very clearly identified and labeled within the organization as a guy that had done something that didn't sit well with the franchise. When you think about the fact that when Dallas Keuchel was a member of the Astros and he made some statements where he thought it was off the record, and it became very on the record, and it was a bad look for him talking about it was he won a game pitching, and he said, I got two wins today because I pitched and got a win on the field, and two, I didn't have to do picture day with all those fans out there like the rest of the team. And the guy that put it out there was immediately attacked by players, the organization. They wanted his pass revoked, all those things. And that's just another reason why when I tell you there's a scorecard, and it's not public, but in organizations they keep track. And they know exactly who said what and written what and reported what, and they never forget.
I've been trying to say that all along. I even had battles with people on Twitter. There's no way when you put somebody like Osuna on the roster that doesn't become a red flag in terms of your radar. Your radar should be going off in terms of who's covering your team and has a passion for domestic violence. There's no way that they were not looking for people like that the second they put Osuna on this roster. There's no way. So I tend to agree with you. I think he's going to get another gig. I don't think it's a career ender for Brandon Taubman. But I do.
It better be a lesson learned. I can tell you that.
Oh, it's got to be. I mean, look. He allegedly was, a few drinks in. Maybe not drink so much, even after a big win. I'm sorry. I know you're
it's
excited.
It's one thing if you're drinking with your buddies at the corner bar. Look, it's another thing when you're at work.
I'm guilty of it, of drinking a little too much. I mean, you got a lot of looks from a lot of people. Well, I mean, I know.
Who are also very guilty of doing the exact same thing.
But I'm just saying, you should know when to, you know, as an assistant general manager, you should know when to pull the plug.
Yeah, I mean, look, it was a no-win situation. If he was lucky, he saved his job in this. He didn't. But I think that though they didn't handle it right from the get-go, it looks like they're trying to handle it right now. And I think from a player's perspective, from an organizational perspective, on the national stage right now, it's the last thing they want. They're down 0-2. People are blaming this guy and all these other things. He had nothing to do with how bad this team has played to this level, to this point in this series.
Right.
But at least hopefully now that's going to not be the one of the big stories in the world.
Hopefully it's not a question that gets popped up to them after Game 3, Game 4, and the rest of the series. That's what they do not need. That's what they do not need.
So your viewing pleasure tonight would be your Houston Rockets home opener against the Milwaukee Bucks. If you want to see that, if you want to see SMU and the Cougs play football, that's a Thursday night tilt as well. And the NFL matchup on Thursday night happens to either be the Redskins at the Vikings in the AP Cousins Bowl as those two guys go against their former teams. Not like spectacular top shelf viewing, but at the same time, it's better than watching like reality television.
I'm with you. Can't agree more.
Appreciate it, my friend. Always great working
with
you. Thank
you, sir. Barry's back tomorrow.
Great job. Barry via remote from Wichita, Kansas will join us tomorrow as we get into an FEF Friday. Hopefully he'll have a Comedian of the Week, and we'll have plenty to talk about coming off of those sporting events and more that we talked about, and get you ready for Game 3 of the World Series. For Nick, I'm Joel. Have a great night, everybody. Coming up next, it's The Blitz. It's Fred and AJ live from Twin Peaks, Kirby and 59. Stay tuned, stop on by, and listen all the way till 7 o'clock right here on ESPN 97.5.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
Yeah, boy.
ESPN 97.5.